This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming to you for the next 3 hours here on a Sunday. Thank you for being with us on Sirius Channel 158. YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. And Mike, we had a weird day yesterday betting. I would say good overall, but just there were some wonky things that went on. It's okay. I think it was profitable overall for everything. Hopefully we put some more winners in the account today.
Yeah, it was actually a very good day, Matt, and it was capped off by the Pacers team. We talked about playing the Pacers at alternate numbers, tying it with their team total over. 9.5 gets home, 14.5 gets home. They get over the team total, had some success in baseball as well. You did well with your cycle plays. My cycle plays went 2 for 4 with some nice plus money. So overall, a very good day. And by the way, plus 175 on Scotty, looking pretty darn good right now, Matt.
Oh, yeah, that's feeling really good about that. And also, so you got a nickname, right? Like, so everybody that is, if you're new to this, like Somich has some people in his circle call him Somo Bomb. I mean, you know, whatever. It's a nickname. I think you said carried over from when you were in high school or was it high school?
Yeah. High school wrestling. So, freshman year in high school. My nickname was Somo, and that we came up with a wrestling move called the Somo Bomb, and that has stuck for literally over 20 years now.
Am I now Matty Trybox? Is that my new nickname here? Because I hit another trifecta yesterday here on the very program. We did actually at least talk about it before we got out of here, Mike. And I said, hashtag not gambling advice, but if anybody wanted to just follow along for funsies. Yeah, we hit another trifecta yesterday.
You did hit another trifecta. You should have hit the one in the other race too. I told you who was going to mess it up. Antiquarian, he ends up running second in that race and costs you the try in the later race as well. You would have had the super in the first race. If you put the four together for a dollar super, it would have paid over $2,300 as well. So good job by you, Matt. Way to handicap those horse names.
Hey, man, it's fun. It's good times. Listen, as long as it keeps working, what do they say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So I'll just I lose like 10 in a row, then I'll just retire this ridiculousness that I'm doing right now. Jonathan Von Tobel going to join us a little bit later to talk some NBA. We'll have Dennis Bernstein join us to talk some hockey as well. But Mike, we do have a first pitch that is coming, the Cardinals and the Rangers. Eric Fetty versus Jacob deGrom. If you look back and see what you saw in the month of May, you will see that the Cardinals tied with the Phillies and the Tigers for most wins in May at 19. 19 wins, my friend, right there for this Cardinals team. And Jacob deGrom starting to look a whole lot more like Jacob deGrom. Now, he is never going to be peak Jacob deGrom, I don't think, ever again, Mike. We got to remember he's still up there in age a little bit here, but certainly an upper 20th percentile, maybe even upper 10th percentile starter in Major League Baseball. And who knows, maybe as he rounds into form and gets a little bit more separated from this injury, maybe he ends up being, you know, right up there with some of the top names in the game for DeGrom. But a big favorite today at home against the Cardinals.
Yeah, look, when he's healthy, he's good, right? And right now he's healthy. So you got to assume that you're going to get a good outing from DeGrom here. You're seeing the total effect that 7.5 number four for the first five. I wanted to bet against Fetty. I don't love him as a starter for this Cardinals team, but the price is a little too big here on Texas. I don't want to lay the 1.5. The first 5.5 run line is -132. That's too expensive for me in this spot. So I looked at considering a team total Rangers over in the first five, but I ended up deciding to pass on this game.
I figured out how to do it, my friend. You know, you saw, right?
Let's hear it.
You saw how I decided to do it. So I want to also fade Eric Fetty, a guy that if you look and you say, okay, 390, not terrible ERA. Then you look at that whip, it's all the way up at 1.3. Then you look at the expecteds, XFIP at 4.94, Sierra at 5.12, XERA at 5.23. Then you look at the BABIP against, way down at 2.62. As we said, league average is 300. This guy has just been dancing through raindrops, but he's getting by, Mike, on a 15% K rate and a 10% walk rate. That is not good. It is worse than league average on both. And so you, and again, like he's just been able to get by with this, a 7.5% swinging strike rate. It is going to come crashing down on him. It is going to come crashing down hard on him. Is that today? I don't know, but I don't really need it to. I just need Corey Seager, who's hitting in the three hole today, to go in, get me three plus hits, runs, RBI, plus 125. So I'm actually getting plus money here on Seager, who is going to get multiple at bats here against Fetty, a bullpen that, yeah, I certainly decreases my chances once we get there. But hey, look, three plus hits, runs, RBI for Corey Seager. All I need, let's get a leadoff guy on. Corey Seager hits, you know, a double, and then boom, there we go, donezo.
You're good to go. That's all it takes. I don't dislike the idea of trying to find a way to fade him. I'm hoping the regression comes later, right? Sometimes you watch these pitchers and you know you want to bet against them, so you have to root for him for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I want to root for him here in today's game and then try and find a spot when he's taking on the Cubs, when he's taking on a lineup that I really like, that I'm allowed to bet against him in those spots. So we'll see how he's able to do today. I would expect it's not a wonderful outing, but this Texas offense has struggled, Matt, and that's the other issue with trying to fade him in this spot.
Yeah, Seager, you know, that being said, during a lot of those struggles, Seager was out. He's back now. That certainly helps this lineup a ton. Him sitting in that three hole is just so, so key and so important for this team. As we sit right now, guys, if you do want to play this one, again, the first pitch coming here momentarily, DeGrom's, I guess, the lowest you're going to find in the market, 160. Minus 160 at MGM. Yeah, so minus 160 at MGM is the best you're going to find if you do want to back DeGrom. If you like the Cardinals here going up against DeGrom, you can find a plus 143 out there. That is at Caesars. So if you want to play that one, that's how you're going to go about it. Total sitting at 7.5. No thoughts for me here because, as you said, I mean, I like DeGrom. Two offenses I'm not jumping up and down about. Can't really get there on what we're going to do from a total standpoint.
Yeah, seems about right. Again, if anything, I'm taking Texas team total over 2.5 runs in the first five. That I would specifically just say, okay, I want to target the Cardinals pitcher and say you're going to get a blow up early. But again, I don't trust the Texas offense enough to be able to do it, and the price is about right.
So you mentioned Pacers do advance. They win 125-108 in game six versus the Knicks. Our handicap of that one did work out, Mike. Like we said, we figured if the Pacers were going to win, it was just going to be a convincing win. We said you didn't have to play the full game total, though. It got home as it was anyway. That being said, we were talking about, hey, play team total, play an alt team total. All of those would have gotten home for you as well on the Pacers side of things. And honestly, you look at this game, and I know there's going to be Knicks fans out there who are saying, look, I understand. We lost. They shot the lights out. It's true. I mean, that is absolutely true. And you could look on this and say, I mean, if you look at the shot quality game score, Mike, like it's absurd, right? I mean, like the Pacers should not have, in theory, if everything averages out to norms in the NBA, they lose the game, right? I mean, whatever, but it doesn't matter. It was one game sample size, and that's all that matters, and they move on. But now they move on to play this Thunder team, massive, minus 700, minus 750, minus 8 at some places, something like that for the series. It's just a different animal, right? Because now you're moving in and you're getting not only an elite offensive team, but also an elite defensive team going up against you as well. So I understand Pacers, great offense. I get that. And on a per game basis, kind of right there with OKC, but defensively, it's just a whole different story here, which is why OKC sits where they do right now.
Yeah, look, OKC should be the favorite. Mm-hmm. I think 700 is about right. When we get out to 800, it's getting a little juicy there. A lot of people don't want to lay 700 to win the series either. You got to put a lot of money up to be able to make some decent amount of cash when you're laying 700. And, you know, you look at the exact game score, OKC 4-1, I think makes a lot of sense at plus 250. If you want to play OKC 4-0 at plus 260, I think that makes sense as well. But I already unloaded the clip on this series, Matt. Mm. I went out and I found a game one full series number that I think is way too cheap. So I played OKC to win game one, OKC to win the series at minus 275. It's not for everybody because you're laying minus 275. But look, if you look at the history of teams at home in the first game of the finals, they generally cover, let alone just outright win the game. And if OKC goes up 1-0, what's the series price, Matt? It's a heck of a lot more than 700, and I'm sitting there with the minus 275 ticket. They're minus 425 favorites in the opening game on the money line anyway. I think it makes a ton of sense to go out there. If you have the capital to be able to do it and you're willing to lay -275 to get a ticket in there on OKC to win game one and win the series.
Here's a shocker for you. A major golf tournament is going on, and Scotty Scheffler's in the lead heading into Sunday. Yeah, I know. That's just going to blow you away. Scotty Scheffler birdies four of the final five holes in round number three over at Muirfield and enters Sunday atop the leaderboard. We said this yesterday. The course was playing tough. Who is likely to be able to navigate this course playing tough better than Scotty Scheffler? He did it. He goes out, makes the birdies when he had to, Mike, and now he finds himself heading into Sunday with the lead over Ben Griffin, who I'm not saying can't run him down. I'm saying is unlikely to run him down.
Well, we got +175 tickets from yesterday, Matt. Do we hedge this or do we just let it roll with Scotty here, who's -300 now to win the tournament?
No, he's going to win. Just no.
Don't bet the
No, you're good. You're golden. Do not worry about that one bit. Journalism's going to run in the Belmont.
Yeah, we get journalism back in the Belmont. Crudo also going to enter for Todd Pletcher. That's great news. We got eight now that are expected to be in the Belmont entry box. Going to be a phenomenal rematch of the Kentucky Derby. We're going to have Sovereignty, have journalism, have Baeza. So we get the Derby winner, the Preakness winner, as well as the horse that ran third in the Derby, all going to reunite here at Saratoga in just 1 week from today. The draw is on Monday, so we'll have official post positions on Monday. Make sure you check out VSiN.com for an article about the post position and pace on Tuesday.
Talked about the UFC fight night last night, and if you went in and you placed your bets, you're going to look in there and today and you're going to see that it got refunded. The main event got canceled last night. Aaron Blanchfield and Macy Barber. Aaron Blanchfield getting ready to walk out and gets told that Macy Barber had a seizure in the locker room right before ready to walk out for this thing. So that thing got canceled. So yeah, you will get refunded on any of your bets there from the UFC fight night last night. Unfortunate situation for you if maybe you had some good parlays going with all of that. When we come back, we got more Major League Baseball. First pitch is coming. We will get you some bets in your account.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready Set Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich on a Sunday, running through, getting some bets into our accounts here. Mike, I do want to throw out just some notes here from Major League Baseball all coming through this morning. Sunday, a lot of news with everything that's going on. Nate Eovaldi moved to the IL. Bryce Harper sitting out again today. Dalton Varsho to the IL. Yordan Alvarez, you talked about that fractured hand for him. Taiwan Walker, they're shipping him to the bullpen, so he's not going to be around anymore in the rotation. Jazz Chisholm, Tuesday. So remember that Yankees lineup has been without Jazz Chisholm for a while. He will be activated on Tuesday. Kumar Rocker is ready to get back into the rotation there for the Rangers. So he is going to be getting going again. Mike Trout's going to be sitting out today. Remember, he just came back from the IL. So a couple games for him. They want to rest him up here and make sure that he doesn't re-injure anything. So he is going to be sitting out today as well. So, Jose Quintana is back for the Brewers in that rotation for them. So we do have some news that's going on out there in Major League Baseball. Some lineup notes as well. If you were trying to play the Angels, you probably wanted Mike Trout in the lineup. He's not going to be in the lineup out there today. So Red Sox and Braves, Garrett Crochet, Bryce Elder over there in Atlanta. What are we looking at from this one here, Mike?
I was surprised this total was 8, Matt. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be 8.5. We're sitting here at 8. Over is -115. I'm going to play the over in this spot. If you look at Bryce Elder and his underlying numbers, he's by far the worst starter for this Atlanta Braves team, currently sitting with a 4.50 ERA. The expected ERA over 5 there. He's giving up a lot of solid contact. I think this is a Red Sox lineup that can get to him today. And I look at Garrett Crochet sitting with that 2.04 ERA. And again, underlying numbers say he's a little worse than that. And I trust this Atlanta offense right now. So I will take over 8 in this spot here for the game. So Red Sox Braves over 8 -115 for me.
One of the nuggets again coming through here, as we said, there's just a lot of nuggets that are coming through, Mike. And I think this actually affects you a little bit. They're going to give Corbin Carroll a rest today.
Oh no.
Yes. So Corbin Carroll is going to be getting a day off for the Diamondbacks. So not in the starting lineup there for them.
We're going to have to make some adjustments to the good old Bet the Cycle segment then.
Yeah.
Corbin Carroll was a part of my cycle today, and he will not be coming through for your boy. So I got to make some adjustments there.
Yeah. That's why Sundays are a little bit wonky, why I wanted to kind of just do the brief overview with all of that. If there ever's a day, they're going to give someone a day off. Sunday is a lot of the time they're going to do that. And so there we go with him getting, I think it's his first day off of the season, actually. So Corbin Carroll's having a season. So they got to make sure that he's good to go for the rest of the year. So I understand why they're going to give him a day off there. Okay, so we're looking at the over there in that one. White Sox and Orioles. Adrian Houser versus Charlie Morton. And Mike, this is probably going to surprise a lot of people out there, considering we talk about how terrible this team is all the time, but I'm going to back the White Sox at a pretty big number here. And a lot of it has to do with the number. Oh, wow. Some people must have looked at the same thing I did. This is all the way down to 130 at a lot of the places out there. It's as low as 118 now at Caesars. Mm-hmm. Well, this was 150 last night, so that's all I can say. I have a 150 in the account on the White Sox. You can still find a 130 on the White Sox. Dude, Hauser's just a better pitcher than Morton is right now, and the Orioles can't hit the ball. So, I mean, I don't know why we would ever have gotten a 150 here in this one when you're talking about the actual win percentage for this White Sox team. I get it, dude. Like, but what in that lineup makes you think that this lineup is that much worse than where the Orioles are performing right now?
Oh yeah, this has gotten steamier than a sauna in Antarctica here with the amount of money that's been pouring in on the White Sox. You do mention plus 150 last night. We saw this as high as Orioles minus 175. I think 125 plus 125 for the White Sox is the best number I can find in the market right now. So ton of money coming in, and I agree with it. I agree with you. I think the 150 price wasn't quite right. I'll take Houser as the better pitcher. I don't really want to give Baltimore credit on the offensive side, especially when it comes to consistency on them being able to put up runs. So it would be White Sox at that 150 number. I would pass the game at the current number. I think that the price is now properly baked in there versus what it was last night.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Morton is just a shell of what he used to be. He's not as bad as the 709 surface ERA that you're looking at right now. Anytime you see these super high or super low, you're always going to be somewhere towards the middle when it comes to all of that. So the 709 ERA is actually more of like a high four, low five ERA when you look at the expecteds. But guess what, Mike? A high four, low five ERA is still terrible. So even though it's not 709, it's still really, really bad. I mean, you're looking at a 1.66 whip. Yes, walks, hits per inning pitched. He's giving up over one and a half hits and walks per innings pitch for him. And then you just start to look at the stuff, right? Where Morton back in the day could get you some swing and misses, things like that. Swinging strikes are down, K rate is down, walk rate is up, all of the different things that you hate about a starting pitcher as they get older in their career as well with all this, Mike. Like, I mean, and then what have we said about this lineup just forever? I mean, it's the most disappointing lineup in all baseball.
They just don't hit. They don't get on base either, Matt. I think that's, to me, is the most frustrating part. A lot of these teams where it's like the three outcomes, right? Where you got the homer, you got the single, or the homer, the strikeout. They're not even walking. Like the OBPs are awful for these guys. And that really makes it hard when you are hitting home runs, because they do hit home runs. Mm-hmm. They're just all solo shots because there's no one ever on base. And they need to figure out how they're going to get this Orioles offense going. And I think today's going to be a tough day. Adrian Houser, zero ERA on the surface numbers, 2.15 if you look at expected ERA. So he's been pitching well here for this White Sox team.
And another thing just to remember here with all of this, the one guy that actually was consistent in this Orioles lineup said Mullins is on the IL now at this point. And you look at who they're starting today. Yeah, Holiday and Henderson are in there, Mike, but they're having to start Kobe Mayo. They're having to start Dylan Carlson. They're having to start Heston Kjerstad. I mean, these are all these super hyped prospects that have not panned out so far whenever they've gotten to the majors. So another reason that I was going in the direction of the White Sox at the price given. With that, Brewers and the Phillies. Jose Quintana just mentioned he is off of the IL starting for the Brewers today. Ranger Suarez for the Phillies. I did put in a little fun most wins in June bet on the Phillies, Mike. They have 13 games against the Blue Jays, Pirates, and Marlins in the month of June. And then, yeah, there's some tough ones in division. They play the Braves several times. I mean, listen, the Braves, I don't think the Phillies of all teams are scared of the Braves at all, considering this Phillies rotation that they're able to roll out on, you know, as long as they stay healthy. So again, it was 17-1. It's more of a fun type deal, but I'll take the 13 games against the Jays, Pirates, and Marlins and hope that they can run on the right side of variance against the harder teams that month.
Yeah, I mean, at that price, it's a fun little month-long sweat. I don't hate it at all. Nothing for me in this game, but I do want to at least mention William Contreras, who's taking on Ranger Suarez today. He's on the hill for the Phillies. Contreras, 8-for-19 career against Suarez with 3 home runs. His home run price, Matt, plus 650 today. Not bad there for William Contreras if you want to take a shot at plus 650.
We got another one coming to you here momentarily as well. And again, these are all... let's see, 10:35 our time, so 1:35 Eastern first pitches. So just be sure and get these bets in as quick as you can. A's and the Blue Jays. J.P. Sears going for the A's. Kevin Gausman going for the Blue Jays. They are big minus 258 favorites at home here, plus 210 for the A's on the road. A flat 8 the total. We talked about this A's team that had a good April, had a really bad May. Probably not as bad as they were in May, but definitely not as good as they were in April. So I imagine we're just going to be looking at a team that is probably going to win about 40% of their games. Mike, that's probably what the A's are.
Yeah, it is. And I looked at this and I looked at my numbers. I thought this total was going to be 9.25. So a juiced 9 to the over. And we're sitting here at 8 with Gausman and JP Sears, neither of which is pitching exceptionally well so far this year. Sears has been hit pretty good by a Blue Jays team as well over his career. I'm shocked we're not seeing at least an 8.5 with juice to the over here. The fact that we're sitting at 8 makes it a pretty easy bet for me. We talked about these teams yesterday. We should have played the over. We're going to play the over today, Matt. Give me Athletics Blue Jays over 8 here.
We are running a special over at VSiN.com. If you're not a pro subscriber already, go in. $199 is not going to get you a year. It is actually going to get you 14 months. So 14 months if you go in and play, get a VSiN Pro subscription for $199. You get that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Of course, as we always say, you're going to get the daily best bets. You're going to get the betting splits. You're going to get all the stuff that we do in the app as well. You're going to get a betting guide for every one of the major tentpole events over the next 14 months. I mean, we are putting out those for every single one of the big sporting events and every time a season starts as well. And then, hey, promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, will include a pre-order of Josh Applebaum's book, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. So something that... so even more reason to go in and take advantage of all of this. And Mike, I'm a man of my word. I told you. I wore.
Oh yeah.
The see, it says Paris right there on the the deal right there, for the PSG. But see what I'm saying? Like, you, I bought them and then I got them. And I'm like, I don't like them that much. These shoes are
They're okay.
Yeah. I bought them.
You kind of have to be a PSG fan to really rock.
I liked them much more in Paris on the shelf than I like them right now. More baseball when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, rolling along as Major League Baseball continues to get their first pitches going. We've got a lot of the players over at the Memorial already out on the course. We will have the final 1, 2, 3, 4 pairings still to tee off. Mike, it's not indicative of how the course is going to play today because of the incredibly high skill level that Ludvig Åberg possesses, but he is 6-under through 17. I'm not going to say there's a 6-under out there today, you know, because again, he's ridiculous, you know, so, but he is 6-under. I have the round of the day going out there. Most everybody that's on the course kind of sitting between that 2-under to 2-over range. That kind of is that's kind of where we're sitting right now with all the guys out there. So again, if Scotty kind of goes and does what he's done what he's done so far, which is 2-under, 2-under, 4-under, if he goes out and shoots 2-under again, 3-under again, he probably wins the tournament.
Well, I'll disagree with you, Matt. There's definitely a 6-under out there. But there's probably just one, and Ludwig probably just shot it. So there's probably not another one that's going to happen here. And I agree. Look, if Scotty goes 2-under, this thing's probably over. So the question is, can he go out there, shoot 2-under through the 18 and be able to get to the 10 number? And if he does, it's going to be very tough to beat him. Right now, minus 300 to win the tournament. no interest in betting at minus 300. We got the ticket from yesterday at plus 175. Hopefully you can just close this out, make it nice and easy for us, Matt. No drama. Just get a two-stroke lead and just coast to that finish line.
I need Ben Griffin and Nick Taylor to fall off because I have Sepp Straka and Keegan Bradley. And because Scotty Scheffler was in this tournament, I bet the winner without market this week. So
I do love that market. Yeah. We had some fun with that one in the PGA.
Yeah, so I have Straka and Bradley, but again, Griffin and Taylor stand between them and being second place. So just need those guys to fall off and have my guy get to second place. That's all I'm looking for here in that one. More baseball rolling on here. Angels and the Guardians. And we just mentioned Mike Trout not in the lineup for the Angels today. Good day yesterday for him, even in the loss. But it's good to see Mike that, you know, I guess nothing's changed with Trout. When he's in the lineup, he's productive. It's just being in the lineup.
Well, it was nice to see him come back this quickly as well. I mean, as soon as you hear he's injured, you're like, is it months? Is it two? Is it three? Is it the rest of the year? Like, what's this injury? How long is it going to be? This is a quick turnaround. Back in the lineup rather quickly after being hurt. And so it was nice to see him back and be productive. As long as he's in there, like you said, Matt, he's good. He's able to hit the baseball. It's just you got to be able to stay in the lineup.
So we have Gavin Williams on the hill for the Guardians, and Gavin Williams, one of the most frustrating pitchers to bet on or against or whatever. You got the surface stats of 4.27 and a 1.58 WHIP on him, and you look at the expecteds, 4.05, 4.33, 4.97 when we're talking xFIP, Sierra, and xERA, and then you go in and you see, like, man, this dude's got 13% swinging strikes. He should be awesome. Oh, he's got a 13.7% walk rate as well. Mike, like, it's just, you know, again, we talked yesterday about some of these guys like Lodolo, who ended up having a great day. Like, he's awesome DFS guy, right? Like, put Gavin Williams in a couple DFS lineups. If you have a great Gavin Williams day, then, like, hey, you're probably going to be cashing in these tournaments, maybe even have a chance to win one. Betting my hard-earned money on Gavin Williams, not knowing which Gavin, is it going to be the dude that can't throw it over the plate and has four walks through the first three innings? You know, like, those are the things that just really drive me crazy about him.
Well, and it's tough too, because Jack Chanowitz is on the mound here for the Angels, 1.52 WHIP, a guy I like to play overs with, but you've got Gavin Williams and you've got kind of a lackluster Cleveland Guardians offense at times. And you're like, well, if Gavin Williams comes out and pitches well, this game still stays under, even if Chanowitz kind of blows up a little bit here, we do get the runs that we expect from a Cleveland offense. So I've been staring at the 8.5, Matt, all day. This one's probably going to be eligible for our, hey, idiots, why didn't you play at play of the day, not taking the over here, and now at 8 that we're seeing on the board at minus 120. I like the over. I didn't bet it. Looking forward to regretting this one in a couple hours.
Rockies and the Mets. This is Carson Palmquist for the Rockies, Clay Holmes for the Mets. Okay, so it is June the 1st. It is June the 1st.
Yep.
Minus 440. I'm not misspeaking, but minus 440 for the Mets at home. Plus 340 for the Rockies on the road. 8.5 is our total. And Mike, I saw a thing yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit throughout the course of the show, just what we saw in May, what we've seen so far through the first couple months of the season. What do we think could maybe make a change for the better or for the worse? You can't make a change for the worse when you're 9-49. That's where the Rockies are. Sitting here on June the 1st, it is not the worst in the last 100 years, Mike. This is actually the worst start since the 19th century, not the 20th century, since the 19th century to be 9-49 through June the 1st. That's where we sit right now with this Colorado Rockies team.
We're going to need producer Corey to clip that, where you said it couldn't get worse. And we'll see where we are at the end of June, because I have a feeling it could get worse here for this Rockies team. I looked through every option to try and bet this game. I'm not laying 440 with the Mets. Minus 1.5 runs is minus 185. The only thing I found, Matt, that I think is worthwhile playing, you can get Holmes to record a win minus 150. That feels like it's a little bit better of a number. He's a starting pitcher. You got a pitcher in the Rockies that likes to blow up at high ERA, around 8 for the season. Holmes has been pitching well. He's been a little bit worse than his underlying numbers, but that's still not, it's not bad.
Yeah.
You got an offense with the Mets. Should be able to,
just get us 5 innings.
You need 5 innings.
Yeah.
Just get us 5 innings. If you get 5 innings, I think you cash the ticket, right? And if you look at his total outs for this game, I'm pulling it up real quick here, you're sitting at 18 and a half. Mm-hmm. He's expected to pitch six. So for me, Clay Holmes minus 150 to record a win is the only way I would attack this game if I was going to bet it. I did not bet it personally, but if you want to bet against the Rockies, I think that's the best way to do it today.
A game both of us are on. This first pitch coming in about 5 minutes. Giants on the road at the Marlins. Hayden Birdsong and Ryan Weathers. This is about a coin flip, a little bit shaded towards the Giants on the road. A flat eight is your total here in this one. Ryan Weathers has made three starts for the Marlins this season, Mike. He's ticked up each and every start. They're kind of letting him go a little bit deeper in the game. Got up to 94 pitches actually on his last outing out there. You look at this San Francisco Giants team. Eighth lowest WOBA in baseball in May, bottom 10 versus left-handed pitching. They had the eighth highest K rate versus left-handed pitching in May as well, approaching 26% with all of that. I think this K prop is way too low on Weathers at 4.5 because I do expect him to get up into the, you know, 5 and a third, maybe even 6 innings plus if he can keep that pitch count down, considering they're letting him get up into the 90s now. So over 4.5 Ks for me on Weathers.
I don't hate it. I found a different way to bet it. So I played Weathers first to 3 Ks against Birdsong here, who is on the hill for the San Francisco Giants. Birdsong, this is only going to be his third start of the season. He's been coming out of the bullpen. You've seen him kind of struggle to get to this 3K number anyway. He's sitting at 4.5 right now. But the key for me here, You get to throw first to San Francisco. So Weathers gets the top of the first, the top of the second, the top of the third to win that race to 3Ks, whereas Birdsong's pitching in the bottom half of that inning. I agree with you. I think Weathers is able to take care of business. I also like the under first five at 4 runs. So I'll play under 4 first 5 here in this game. I do think Birdsong pitches well. I just don't think he goes very deep into the game. And San Francisco is a very good team when you're talking about bullpen games and able to shuffle those relievers in and out. And I think Weathers continues his upward trajectory from what we've seen in these early starts as well. So I'm going to take Weathers race to 3Ks, minus 135. And then I'll also take the under 4 here.
Yeah, Weathers a guy that I really like his stuff. And a dude that I know has been frustrating before. He's only 25. You know, like, I think that there's still a chance that he could be that guy that we thought. Yeah, that there's plenty of time for him to be that guy that we thought that he could be. Cardinals get out to a early 1-0 lead there on the Rangers. Let's see. DeGrom gave up a couple hits on a walk there in the first inning. So that ended up getting plating a run there for St. Louis in the first. And as you pointed out, I have that hits runs RBI on Seager. About as good as you could have asked for a situation that didn't end up happening. Smith leads off with a double, then a walk. So two on, nobody out, and Seager strikes out. So, yeah.
Three straight pitches. Didn't even get dramatic for you, Matt.
About as good of a start as I could have asked for, and said he strikes out there on that one. But, you know, listen, lots of game left, as we like to say whenever we have a bet that's not winning or that's losing at the time. Hey, lots of game left. Don't worry about it.
There's at least two more at-bats, Matt. You're fine. At least two more at-bats.
Yeah, tons of game. We have plenty of time for this thing to get home. So anyway, we're going to talk about ProfitX here. It is a peer-to-peer betting exchange. So you're betting against guys like me and Mike. You're not betting against the house. You're not betting against sports books. You can find it in 40 plus different states out there as well. So go in and download ProfitX. Use the promo code VSIN. When you do, you can earn up to 200 in profit cash on your first month whenever you are betting there at ProfitX. Of course, we know the NBA finals are here. We got the Stanley Cup as well. So go in, take advantage of this ProfitX promo code VSIN. When we come back, we'll talk to our very own Jonathan Von Tobel. We'll see what he thinks is going to happen over in the NBA finals.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready Set Bet here on VSIN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Paying close attention to what's going on in these baseball games out there. Almost doing a play-by-play situation of all of this. Mainly because I see Eric Fetty is throwing a ton of pitches out there, Mike. So I'm trying to will it into existence of getting this bet home with with Seager, but we'll have to wait until next inning for that to happen.
Yes, you will. I'm here staring at the I have the over in Braves Red Sox. They've got the bases loaded with two outs. That's a big spot. We've got the over in the A's Blue Jays. The first two batters are on there. That's a big spot. So we need some runs to come through here, Matt. We got a lot of base runners. Need those to translate those into some runs here in the top of the first.
Now joining us here on the Progressive guest line, our very own Jonathan Von Tobel. Find him every day on the network here, 9 to 11 Pacific. Also our VEASAN basketball expert as well. And we have headed to the NBA Finals. That said, before we get going, I see you with your Angels hat on right there. Mike Trout back in the lineup, back healthy, hitting some ball. Listen, I need Trout. I have Trout over home runs on the season. I thought I was going to cruise to this. I'm like, it's going to be done by July. Feeling great about all this. Of course, then he gets hurt, misses all the games. But how do you feel about the Angels season so far? A little bit surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's one way to put it, right? When they go on the, what was it, the 8-game winning streak and like the power's going nuts and the offense looks great. But they reverted back to form. And of course, they followed that up by losing a series to the Miami Marlins. And then just every single time, like last night, if you read a season or excuse me, a game recap, it just starts with, you know, Guardians rally from or whatever. Like the pitching's awful. The bullpen sucks. And then you throw out guys like Kahanowitz, who's going to start here today, who is struggling in every category possible. So I'm with you. Like I had 66-1 actually on Trout to lead the league in homers. We were cruising. I thought, man, this is going to be great. And then he gets hurt. You're still alive for your season prop. I'm dead with mine. But man, just get to 72 wins and get me over my win total. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah, not asking too much for just 72 wins. That's not that too bad. I almost play the over in today's game. You mentioned their starter 1.5 ERA or whip, and you've got Williams on the other side. Not wonderful either for the Guardians. But we're here to talk about some NBA. We have the Pacers who wrap up the Eastern Conference yesterday, able to blow out the Knicks in a game six there. What do you make of this Pacers team who has overachieved throughout this entire playoffs and going into every one of these series? And now they go in and they're trying to really... They need to overachieve one more time in a big way here to come out with their minus 700 dog here in the NBA Finals.
So, Mike, the way that I've kind of put this in my head, and I want to be clear, I think they're a better version of the team I'm about to invoke right now. But they, I think, are somewhat reminiscent of that Miami Heat team that went to the finals and played Denver, right? Where, like, that team, there were multiple series where you were like, holy smokes, they're shooting, like, 57% on contested three-point shots. Or, holy crap, they're shooting 72% on long mid-range jumpers against Boston and all. Like, there were just little things here and there that you kept pointing to that go, man, can they keep doing that? And then when you look at Indiana, right, you look at a team that through the first two rounds had the highest effective field goal percentage we had seen from a playoff team. They continue to play at that pace. Now their efficiency and their wins is off the charts when you're looking at the rate at which they hit shots, their offensive efficiency mark, their half court offensive efficiency marks. It's incredible. And you do wonder against a defensive oriented team like Oklahoma City, who is really geared to play this backcourt wing oriented team that can switch almost everything, that can get physical with them, if that starts to kind of dry up here a little bit. And so that to me is kind of the key. Again, they're much better than the Miami Heat team that made that run. But when you looked at that run for Miami, there were so many different things you could point to. Like, I don't know, man, like that shouldn't keep happening. That shouldn't keep happening, or at least to that rate, that shouldn't keep happening. And I think that this might be a similar case where it dries up against a defensive team that is going to just be a pain in the ass for them every turn of the way.
So if you look at this, I mean, I don't think some people have the bankroll to play the minus 700 on the series, but like most people listening to this do not have the bankroll to put 700 to win 100. So let's say you really do love OKC. Is it a sweep? Is it a gentleman's sweep? Do you see this thing going six or seven? Like, how can you get action on OKC without having to lay the 700?
Yeah, so I think the easy one, right, is like going to these series spreads, Matt. Like, you know, for example, if you really think they're going to kick Indiana's ass, -2.5 games is about minus 130, minus 125, depending on where you look. And I think that's probably a fair way to look at it. I think the thing that would give you some pause, and I think 2.5 is probably the way to go here, and you can go exact games, right? But I would be wary of playing a sweep. The only reason is, as we know, they have not covered a game on the road in this postseason. Their shooting numbers have been abysmal away from home, especially when you look at them offensively. In this postseason, in terms of offensive rating for Oklahoma City, averaging 108.8 points per 100 possessions in non-garbage time. They've been outscored by 6.2 points per 100 possessions in non-garbage time. And so that gives me some pause in expecting them to sweep because, you know, look, it's a small sample size. But the sample size tells us that they're going to struggle in these road games and potentially drop one. So I think it would make some sense to ask them to win in five games, whether you're playing that exact or whether you're laying that 2.5 because that still gets you there if they win in five. And I think that's what I'm looking for. I don't think they're going to sweep. Indiana's too good on offense. They have too much upside. And given the road struggles, I don't think that's the way to go. So I thought if you still wanted to get into this market, which I do think series price-wise, we're actually a little high. Like I see minus 700 and I see a book telling me, I don't want your Oklahoma City money, right? Like I'll take something else on the other side. But I do think if you're going to do it, laying that 2.5 games at minus 130 is probably the fairest way to go.
It sure does feel like there's some built-in cost there to even take the Thunder at minus 700, where, like you said, we don't want the money from the public. We'll take the professional money. If you want to go out there and lay $28,000 to win four, that's fine. But we don't want all of these $50, $100, $200, $300 tickets all piling up and costing us a lot on this finals. Now, we got game one on Thursday night. Right now, OKC installed as a 9.5-point favorite. Total is sitting at 230.5. Money line at 425. I bet this series, by laying minus 275, OKC wins game one and wins the series. I thought that was a good way to get some discount on that minus 700 series price. Is my heart going to be broken in game one here? Do you like anything on Thursday night?
No, I don't think it is. Like, I think that they've been such a force at home, as you guys well know. Like, the shooting numbers go way up. They shoot under 30% from three away from home. They're shooting like 37% from beyond the arc or better at home. Offensive rating spikes. Defensive rating is incredible. Mike, they've held all of their opponents at home in this postseason to under a point per possession or overall 98.9. It's been awesome. Their defective field goal percentage defensively under, we were floating around 45%. They've been great. And we know that they can force teams into turnovers. I think they've almost been untouchable at home. You know, covering a big number, that is another question. But when you're talking about what you're doing, which is asking them to win outright, I don't think that's really that crazy. I also think the market's kind of getting this right. I think some spots we've seen this open up like 229.5 or up to 230.5. I would play this over. Look, the Pacers just got done with a series where their opponent didn't want to run with them, right? They didn't want to get up and down the floor. The Thunder will invite that havoc. They would be more than willing to do that with them as well. They're capable of doing that with them. So if Indiana wants to speed this thing up, I think from a possession standpoint, we might see a little bit of a quicker series. And Indiana, or excuse me, Oklahoma City is going to be more than willing, especially when they force turnovers. They're going to get off and run. They're going to be willing to get out in transition as well. And so we saw New York kind of get a little uncomfortable in the games that got a little bit quicker. I think that this is going to be one where the Thunder will willingly invite whatever style Indiana wants to play. And I think it makes some sense that you're going to be able to go over the total here. So that's what I liked here. If you can still get over 230.5, I think it's still a playable number. I know most spots open 229.5. Or just wait, because we have seen, as we get closer to game times, we've seen the market buy back on some of these line moves. And so you can sit back and wait. But I think 230.5 is still playable over.
Talking our very own Jonathan Von Tobel here in this one. Let's play devil's advocate here then, JVT. So outside of like Shea getting hurt or something like that, like what will we be talking about if somehow the Pacers find a way to win this championship?
Well, so I think it's first the road things, Matt, right? Again, like they've struggled on the road, but I also think it's just the role players. Look, for a stretch in this postseason, I think most of us were asking, is Jalen Williams like really their second best player? Outside of that Denver game where he finally hits a big shot, I think it was game six at Denver. I can't remember which one it was on the road, that left corner three. He's been really bad, especially away from home. These role players have not shown up. Going into the closeout game against Minnesota, this is a team whose role players had really failed. I mean, Chet Holmgren, his shooting numbers were down away from home. Jalen Williams, as you mentioned, his shooting numbers just across the board were absolutely terrible, and especially away from home. Nobody's really showing up to help Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out. And so I think it starts with those two really key factors, right? It's the fact that Oklahoma City just struggles again away from home, that the role players don't really show up. And the other part is, look, what if Indiana, like postseason, as you guys well know, it's still inherently a small sample size, right? We're still just talking about 16 wins is what you need to get this thing done. And for 16 games, Indiana can still just shoot the hell out of the ball and potentially win. And I think that's going to be part of it too. Like if Indiana wins this series, we are going to look at, I think, at some incredible offensive numbers, because if they're going to get into a grind with OKC, I don't think that's going to be good for them. But if they're just shooting the lights out again for a series, or at least for four games, I think that's what we're going to be talking about too.
At me, JBT, over on the Twitter machine right here, noon Eastern, every single day, money moves as well. And of course, all his work over on VSiN.com as well, breaking down the NBA. Appreciate it, buddy. And good luck on any bets that you end up throwing out here over the course of the series.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good to talk to you.
You got some runs there, Mike. You got your runs, four already in the first inning in that Boston-Atlanta game.
I'll take it. We got two Ks from Weathers in the top of the first as well. So just need Birdsong not to strike out the side. Get one more in the top half. We can cash that first to three Ks bet as well, Matt.
What were the books thinking at 4.5 with what they were looking that he's only gone 5 innings a couple times?
Exactly what they were thinking. They're thinking that because if they're not, you know, he's not going to go deep enough to be able to easily get to 5. And I disagree.
We got a couple more first pitches coming. We'll break those down. Ready, Set, Bet on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.